Anna? Morwenna stood up, alarmed. Anna, are you all right? What have you done?
Anna swayed, panting lightly, her voice weak.
Have you ever heard of Edward Black, the Tregonacy arsenic poisoner who killed his wife? He was executed at Exeter Prison in 1922 by hanging. But I am not going to prison.
Have you taken something?
Morwenna knelt next to her. Her eyes were like glass, her brow a sheen of sweat.
I've always been fond of cocktails.
Anna forced a grimace and groaned again.
Arsenic is known as the king of poisons and the poison of kings.
Morwenna tugged her phone out, dialing emergency services. She spoke quickly. Ambulance, please. And police. I'm at Navegoldby, out on the headland, outside Seal Bay. I think a woman has taken poison.
And here comes the nightmare. Always the same scene. Florida palms. A bright white glare on the edge of the veranda. And Wallace sits in a wickerwork chair, waiting.
6 Admiralty Row, Pensacola. Waiting for her husband to come home. 1916. Waiting with her arms folded. Woolen dress, neat, slip 1.5 inches shorter than the dress. Tortoiseshell barrette holding back the soft waves of her long, lovely hair. Waiting with such pride. Waiting to see his shadow moving ahead of him down Admiralty Row. Moving towards her, she bandbox smart as a U.S. Navy wife should always be.
I felt a tremendous pull on my arm as I was dragged down into the freezing blackness. The rope was crushing my wrist, and I felt it grip tighter as I was pulled further down. There was a flare of red and white, and the silence pressed against my ears. Pieces of the Dionysius were flaking away above me, glowing embers of red and yellow slowly raining down like fireworks. I felt pain, like long, thin needles being pushed into my ears, and there was no air in my lungs. The rope around my wrist was still attached to a piece of the Dionysius hull, pulling me down. I reached up and found the other end of the rope rippling behind. I pulled and yanked and twisted, and with a burst of pain, I got free. I was now desperate to breathe. I kicked out and pumped my arms to try and reverse my descent, but I was so deep the pressure was unbearable, and for a moment I thought I wasn't going to make it back up to the surface.
Sophia studied Lindsay LaRossa, a self-assured woman with flowing deep black hair and a fierce curve to her lips when she spoke. She was only in her 20s, but she'd already done more for race and gender equality than most people could dream of.
They will use whatever tools they have, as has been the case all throughout history. Legal, social, even physical. They, by which I mean the unashamed agents of the patriarchy, the casual racists, the undesirables, will do anything to silence us. Who's going to do something about it, if not us?
Sophia kept drinking, thinking of the recording. There was a chance, she knew, of Abby completely warping Sophia's words. And these were serious differences. Advocating for the dignity of sex workers was not the same as foisting said work on a 14-year-old girl, as Abby had stupidly suggested. Sophia poured another glass, as Lindsay spoke of change, of taking action, of how important they all were in the struggle.
"Kill all feminists," Sophia repeated, ignoring the slurring in her voice, struggling to focus as her vision wavered. How could anybody let that thought into their head, even for a moment?
Sophia drank until she blacked out.